Election 2011 coverage on Manx Radio, brought to you by PDMS.
Hello and welcome to Manx Radio's election constituency debate. Today we'll be hearing from the six candidates standing for election in Castletown. We know that one of the people with me now will be the new representative for the southern seat. The previous incumbent Tony Brown retired after 30 years, having spent the past five as chief minister. The candidates are, in alphabetical order, Colin Leather, Jason Morehouse, Mahendra Patel, David Pownall, Carol Quine and Richard Ronan. And we'll be hearing from each of them in just a moment. But first, Dan Walker brings us an overview of the constituency of Castletown.
Castletown, the seat of the ancient Lords of Man and current Chief Minister Tony Brown. The historic site sits at the mouth of the Silverburn River. In 1797, John Feltham described it as
an airy, pleasant town, smaller than Douglas, containing about 500 houses, but more spacious and regular, divided by a small creek which opens into a rocky and dangerous bay. The difficulty of entering its harbour in some degree injures its commerce. In the centre is Castle Rushen, which overlooks the country for many miles, built in 960 by Guthred, a prince of the Danish line, who is buried in it. It still braves the injuries of time and is a majestic and formidable object. The early kings used to reside here in barbarous pomp.
The kings have gone, and it would take a brave man to describe the current MHKs as ruling in barbarous pomp. But the town certainly has proved to be something of a stronghold politically. In the last century, only five members have represented the constituency at Tynwald. Colonel George Moore until 1919, Sir Joseph Qualtro succeeded him and held the seat until his death in 1960. Thomas Colburn was next in, instigating a scheme for a chairlift linking Douglas Promenade and Douglas Head. It found favour with Tynwald, but not with the voting public. Elspeth Quayle served for the next 10 years, but at the general election of 1981, a fresh-faced Tony Brown took the seat and proceeded to make it his own for the next 30 years. Such was the strength of support for the electrician and disco DJ, two of the six general elections he stood unopposed. However, time has marched on and Mr. Brown has decided to step aside. So, what might be on the voters' minds? What is injuring commerce in the ancient capital? Castletown has, more than other places on the island, adapted to the new status as a financial hub and has attracted Friends Providence and Canada Life, who are now firmly ensconced on the business scene, and it continues to thrive. Housing is perhaps the most contentious issue for the town. Most residents would agree more housing is needed, but where to site such expansion will be a potential minefield for whoever succeeds out of the six candidates vying for their single seat.
Dan Walker. Well, now it's time to hear from the candidates standing for election. They will each have up to 2 minutes to speak about and for themselves without being interrupted. We're going to take them in alphabetical order, so we shall start with Colin Leather.
Hello, my name is Colin Leather, and I believe that my commitment and experience as a Castletown Commissioner will be of benefit to Castletown and the island. I was first elected as a Commissioner in 1980, and I believe my experience will be of benefit to Castletown and the island as an MHK. If elected, my priority will be to work to safeguard the interests of the people I represent and the island. There is no time for complacency. We are in difficult times, much due to the state of the world economy, and it is important we continue to manage, develop and create opportunities so that the island can effectively compete for business and secure jobs and the income we need to sustain our society and the quality of life we all presently enjoy. I'm actively involved in the community of the town, and I'm a person who gets things done. I take a proactive and positive attitude in dealing with matters. I'm an active member of the Castletown Festival and have been involved in it for 15 years. I'm also a long-serving helper and supporter of the Southern 100 motorcycle races, as well as other organisations in the town. I've always taken an active interest in all aspects of the town, and over the years I've actively promoted and supported many new business opportunities for the town. I have always made myself available to the people of the town and have always been happy to meet people to discuss their concerns and to see how I may be able to help. I realise that for the island to continue to be successful, it requires political commitment, vision and importantly the ability to work with all interested parties, the community, business and political colleagues. It's important we provide and secure employment, safeguard our economy and our quality of life. and ensure that we can provide support to those who need our support through providing good quality health and social care. We need to continue to invest in and support our young people, on whom the future of the island will depend, by providing them with the best education and opportunities that we can provide. If elected, I will take the view that whilst part of the role of MHK is to scrutinise the affairs of government to ensure what it is doing best for the island, I will also commit myself to work within government and proactively work to develop policies and to do what I can to help secure the island's future and support people.
Thank you, Colin Leather. Next is Jason Morehouse.
Hello, my name is Jason Morehouse, and I'm in the enviable position having taught at the heart of our community for 17 years. The warmth and friendship of the Manx people have made this place home. I gained my Master's at London School of Economics. It provides the academic strength to help deal with the challenges that we face, the most challenging for 30 years. The precarious state of our economy must be an overriding consideration when choosing the best candidate to represent Castletown. As the pressure of the VAT cut combined with the impact of Ari's demise, the government in 3 years' time will have to operate with revenues of between 35 and 40% less than today. Some are now arguing the situation could be even worse. Solutions do not have to be painful. We are an amazing place and still a good news story, with one of the most impressive rates of economic growth in the world. The public sector has to reduce its spending. In my opinion, it will not be unreasonable for each department to experience a budget cut of 5% each year for the next 5 years, with no associated negative impact on public provision. Private industry has to operate within such constraints. Grandiose projects must also be put on hold. The time of big government has gone, and the link between provision and paying for must be broken. For example, government should plan new roads and have an inspector to check the standards. But why should governments be involved in areas such as road building? The island's assets can be retained and the associated service provided at a better standard for a lower cost. Housing availability is of pressing importance. It is an area where I've unwittingly become a victim. As a short-term solution, I've been living with my parents in Onchan. Some members of the electorate have found this quite a horrifying decision, but I have been open about the situation and I made it clear that I want to move back to Castletown as soon as I possibly can. In the meantime, I'll be running surgeries every Wednesday evening between 4 and 5 o'clock at the Civic Centre, and now have knocked on almost every door in Castletown. I want to live in the heart of our community and successfully represent the people of Castletown.
Thank you, Jason Morehouse. Now, Mahendra Patel.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for inviting me. Mahendra Patel, I'm a pharmacist in Castletown and enjoy working from Castle Pharmacy. We have lived in Castletown for about 25 years or just over, and we have really enjoyed being there in the friendly community that we do live in. I have enjoyed helping, and in fact quite a lot of people do visit the pharmacy, not only on health grounds but on advice on matters outside the field of pharmacy, and I'm quite honoured in that respect to be looked upon as an advisor in that capacity. Over the many years we have lived in Castletown, we have enjoyed life, as I said earlier on. Having said that, year on year things are getting worse, and I think it is high time we actually had a turnaround in events. This is a quaint island. Castletown itself is a quaint little town. I would like to make sure that that stays as is and improves, and that island itself improves year on year. We have major problems coming our way, if not already, and I think the right person for this job would be somebody who thinks on his feet and leads the way.
Mahendra Patel. Thank you. Now we turn to David Pownall.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for inviting me to the studio this evening to give some thoughts on the present situation that we find ourselves in. I'd like to say that I think that at the moment there seems to be quite a lot of drama attached to the media, the recession, and I'd like to raise the tempo a little bit and be a little bit more positive about the future. The reason we're in recession, in my opinion, was because of the subprime market in America. Many Americans being sold mortgages which they couldn't service. That had a knock-on effect and went through to many banks in the UK, which has pushed through to the Isle of Man. A lot of the projects that the Isle of Man had planned at the time, Richmond Hill, for instance, and the runway extension, were done in good times, and the government have come up for quite a lot of criticism. I don't think that we should criticise the government. I think that we should move forward. I actually think the Isle of Man is in good shape. We just need to look out a little bit better for ourselves. I cherish the link that we have with the UK government, but I can tell you now that I think we need to watch it very carefully. We need to watch to see if we can become more independent in the future. It's something that I think that we could do. I also like to think that we could get some of our factories going up the road in Castletown. A few years ago, we used to have Castletown Industries, Castle Industries, and the shoe factory. That produced jobs for people. They could get mortgages, they could buy things. The shops in the town were quite, they were doing quite well. But now things have changed. I'd like to keep an eye on the situation, though, and I hope that you select me to be your MHK.
David Pownall, thank you. We now move to Carol Quine.
Good evening. My name's Carol Quine. I'm mother of three daughters. I have two grandchildren. I've been in this position before because I stood against Mr Brown in 1996, so I'm not a newcomer to this. I would like to say that I'm prepared to once again put myself forward to serve the people of Castletown and the people of our island. I too want to get away from the negativity and build on our positives, and I think it's time for us to get back to simple, basic and realistic budgeting and some common sense. And I would love to see this country of mine as strong and as fair as our national anthem says we are, strong in the world political arena and fair to our people.
Carol Quine, thank you. And finally, Richard Ronan.
Good evening, listeners, and particularly voters of Castletown. I'm Richard Ronan. I'm 48 years old, born, bred, and for 28 years, an employee in the town. I'm an experienced local politician who understands how government works and have a good grasp of the issues facing the town and our island. Visiting three quarters of homes over 10 weeks, holding two town meetings and engaging in social media has shown me that the standout issues are based firmly around our economy. VAT, taxation, pensions and scope of government are taking the highest profile amongst the electorate in 2011. Having met one-to-one with senior business and political figures, stimulating the economy should be top priority for any candidate. To afford what Castletown needs, jobs, improved leisure facilities, car parking, traffic calming, activities locally for young and old, then we need to continue to grow. I believe that this can be achieved by ensuring the Department of Economic Development take a top priority in the new government. I welcome the new DED and Chamber of Commerce marketing partnership and see this type of closer working speeding up progress. Like all candidates, I want to do whatever is needed to keep the island a safe place, our high quality of life, top-notch health and education for all, protection and support for the vulnerable. As a realist, I know that without continued economic growth, then our island and my hometown, Castletown, can't afford everything that we want. Making unfounded promises to gain votes is not the Ronan way. My aim is to offer honest, practical reasoning, set realistic targets, conduct our business transparently and openly, and make change through some strong long-term policy. Our future and our children's future employment, housing and health rely on carefully calculated decisions now by you, the voter, and then by your elected MHK. Please use your vote. Don't waste your chance to move forward and away from our current situation. This is a watershed moment for our government, and I believe that I am the right person to ensure that Castletown and the Isle of Man doesn't get left behind.
Richard Ronan, thank you. Well, now each of you have given us an overview of why you feel you should be elected on September the 29th. Let's move on to hear about some of your opinions on the main issues. Now, you all mentioned the economy. Richard Ronan, you said just then it's one of the main issues that people on the doorstep are concerned about. And in the immediate future, tough decisions are going to have to be made, balancing the books in the face of the VAT, general global financial situation. Colin Leather, how do you think that's going to be done?
Well, first of all, let's make it quite clear that it's not all doom and gloom here on the island. No. The island is faring better than a lot of people are right now. The economy is growing, that is without a doubt. Everybody is mentioning the VAT and making it out a huge problem.
But yes, it is. It's a fairly huge problem when you think it's £175 million.
Yes, but yes, it's a huge problem. But we've got the ability to, here to generate the income here on the island.
So how are you going to do that?
First of all, through the economy, by spending as much here on the island as we possibly can. Think before you order from M&S online. Go to M&S and buy it and order it. Because the more VAT that we pay here means the more VAT that we get back from the UK.
Absolutely, but that's not a new idea, is it? And I think the idea of buying locally has been pushed several times. Carol Quine?
What I would like to see, with it, you've just mentioned M&S, what I would like to see is perhaps all these big stores on Ireland being given a licence, an annual licence of however many thousand or million, whatever they're making, and let's have that money stay on the island. There's no point it's all going back to those shops to buy, because that money is still going to leave the island.
Yes, but that money comes back. Those shops are providing employment for the people. They're providing national health insurance.
Well, let's get the money through a licence.
What else? We got to generate cash flow through our businesses. No matter what business it is here on the island, we want the cash flow here.
Jason Morehouse.
We need to actually look at the bigger picture. Last year, the government collected £596 million of VAT in the Isle of Man. We only got back £254 million. In 3 years' time, we'll be getting back roughly a tenth of what we're collecting. You know, we need to be actually saying to the British government, why are we being treated in such a way?
Is the time not gone for that, though? The negotiations have been done. We're in the position we're in. We need to look to the future, and people want to know what you, Jason Morehouse, are going to suggest to get us out of any economic problems.
We have definitely got an agreement. That agreement is still yet to be signed, but we can move on from that agreement. It's not going to be stuck in there forever. We also need to look at actually what the government's doing in terms of spending. There's a major issue in terms of waste. There's duplication within the system. You know, there are 11,000 government workers on the island, and they're sending them at payslip every month. You know, just that is costing thousands and thousands of pounds.
You're talking about not sending them pay slips?
Well, no, that could be done electronically or it could be done within the workplace. But to actually just do things like that, it's small change when you look at the whole system. But when it's been replicated over and over again within government, it turns out to be a huge sum.
Yeah, Jason Morehouse, you also want to see a Department of Creativity and Cuts. Now, creating another department with more officers would seem an unusual way of going about bringing numbers down.
Yeah, that is certainly for the long term. But we've got this issue within the Isle of Man that we simply have got into a position of spending more and more. It's a bit like Parkinson's law gone mad. Every civil servant wants someone under him or under her, and that creates more and more issues. So what we've got to do is actually look at the situation and try and come up with a better use of our resources rather than simply trying to expand that way.
Richard Ronan.
I think really what we've got to remember here is that why we're in the mess we're in. What we had was an amount of about £850 million coming to the Isle of Man economy. The problem we have is that we have set the economy to that inflated figure. Now that the money has been taken away, this is where the problems are created. We've got to ask ourselves, is the Isle of Man in a mess because of the world banking crisis? No, it's in a mess because we've mismanaged our accounts. It's as simple as that. This is why we're in the mess we're in. We have our proportions of indirect taxation to direct taxation stands at about 70% to 30%. And until we bridge them gaps, that's the only reason we'll get a stable economy moving forward.
Mahendra Patel, let me bring you in here. One of the things you say in your manifesto is you want to see more provision for the elderly so they can stay in their own homes for longer. I mean, that's certainly what an ageing population wants to hear, but how can you afford in these times to make that an election promise?
Well, we have two or three advantages with that concept. You have, on the one hand, the elderly living with and in an environment they're used to, which is a friendly one. The direct knock-on effect is that you are employing people to actually carry out the job, which is a simple task. Having said that, to actually accumulate the funds to manage this, you would have to look at the wider picture. You can't just look at one item and say, how are you going to manage that? What I would start, going back to the retailers debate that we had earlier on, what I would suggest, and in fact, I can't see why it hasn't been done already, if all retailers, and in fact not just retailers, but anybody who actually earns money, makes money by either selling something or providing a service or whatever, everybody in the island who does that should be taxed on the island. Simple rule. You know, no licenses, no hassle, no nothing.
David Powell.
Can I just say, you're talking about spending money on the Isle of Man and Marks and Spencers and so forth. I think people need to have the money in their pocket to spend, and for them to do that, they have to have something to do, i.e. a job, and that's where I think that we should be looking to plant seeds in our society, for instance, manufacturing, and as I stated before, getting the factories back up and running. People haven't got the means to be spending at Marks and Spencers. And I think we need to look at supporting local business in the town, because if we don't in Castletown, I can see two or three of them just going under.
Richard Raynan.
I agree in a way. At the end of the day, what's happened over the last 25 years is our economic activity has obviously inflated by the financial and professional services, which takes up to over 50%. Now, that's great, and long may it continue, and long may it continue to grow, but at the expense of our manufacturing, agriculture and tourism. Agriculture currently sits at 1% of our economic activity. Tourism sits at 5% of our economic activity, and manufacturing, I think, is 7% of our economic activity. Now, these are industries where we can generate and make money. Tourism especially. Tourism is a double multiplier effect, where some people earn their money elsewhere and then come and give us it. Manufacturing, we're selling goods and we're getting money back. You know, agriculture, if you like, it's a raw material. I think it's 1 or 2% of the whole of the agriculture industry actually grows veg, potatoes. You know, these are areas where we should be developing and growing and selling our raw materials worldwide.
I'm hearing a lot of positive things from all of you, but the fact is that nearly all of you have said that everybody on the doorstep is really worried about the economy. They're really worried about their finances. Ultimately, they're looking to you as their their elected representative, potentially, as to what you're going to do. What functions are government going to be able to provide going forward?
The government should be able to continue to provide basic services. The issue is the level of bureaucracy. If you look at something like the health service, there are 5 layers of management. You know, it's creating big issues. To have an X-ray, it's taking 3 to 4 weeks. Get a scan, up to 6 months, an appointment.
So you want to see cuts in the health service in that respect?
No, it's actually the way the money's spent. Mm. We've kind of got this system in the past currently use that you've got £1 million to spend, so they simply spend it, whereas you need to actually look at what is the need. It's a bit like Canada 10 years ago. They actually went back to point zero and they said to each department, tell us the money you want and justify it. If we were to do that, I'm sure there'd be a massive reduction in spending on the island.
Richard Ronan?
Again, just touching what Jason just said there, basically what happens in a government department is that you're given the money at the start of the year and you have to spend it. And if you don't spend it, you're punished by the end of the year. What needs to be happening, and I do concur with you, Jason, but it's called zero-based budgeting. Mm. You know, you said you want a department for whatever. You know, we should really consider a department for financial distribution, if you like, because if we're going to save this money, it is achievable. And I do agree with a lot of the guys around the room here, is that, you know, it's not all doom and gloom. What we need to do is have long-term vision, because we can't turn a switch here to make this happen overnight. We're all going to have a little bit of a hit here, but long-term going forward, we have to be positive about this. It's a great place, and we just got to believe in it.
I'm not hearing anybody wanting to make any tough decisions here. David Powell.
I think that we need to tell some departments to shape up. I think we should be corporatising many government departments, not privatising them. I don't want to privatise anything. But a lot of these departments, if they were running as businesses, and I'm sure Mr. Patel would concur with me, they wouldn't be in business next year. They'd be out of business, and there's this blaseness within many of the government departments that they think that they can continue to run their department not in profit, so to speak.
Carol Quine?
I don't want to go too much into the health, because I do work for the health department, so...
Yeah,
what I would like to say is I do agree with Jason on that each department, there shouldn't be a budget given to each department, because when it comes to the end of that year, like Richard said,
zero-based budgeting, yeah.
They just waste that money. Mm-hmm. Board of Education's just done it on buying a load of iPads because they didn't want to have to hand that money back, because next year they'll get less. Going back to what Mahendra said, tax on the island, definitely. I deal with, I recruit locum doctors to the island. They do not pay tax and insurance on the Isle of Man. I want to see that changed.
Well, finally on this, Colin Leather.
Right, going back to corporatisation, it's a nice word, but what it actually means is we are passing out of our control, out of government's control, the items or the functions that corporatisation firm provides, because the very meaning of the word corporate, it is a company. It has to be run by a company, which means the directors and the officers of that company are responsible for it. Whereas that means government itself and we through government would have no say whatsoever in that corporate
government. Can I just say I didn't actually mean that. I meant that the government department should be worked in a corporatisation-like fashion. You're almost turning it towards privatisation. I'm just saying that some of the departments need to think, we need to make a profit here. We haven't got thousands of millions of pounds to just bin.
Jason Morehouse. Yeah,
the government needs to retain ownership, but hand over management.
What I meant, yes.
That's
exactly
corporatisation.
What I meant.
That's corporatisation.
And that's what you're against.
Yes, but not farming it out to a private company, though.
But as Jason just said, it's in government control, Colin. It's still within government control.
It's not in government control.
No, it is.
If you corporatise something, by the very meaning, word corporate, it means it's a company. Government will have no say in the running of that. It's a separate corporate.
Well, for the purposes of you understanding what I've just said, I'd like to use a corporatisation fashion, if you like.
Right.
I want the departments to be more accountable and run their departments like a business would.
But you can't run
a
political organisation as a business, because the very nature of a political organisation is to look after us, the people.
I think you're taking it too literally.
In government, where they try and run these departments as businesses. Yes, you can, but then as a business, it just wouldn't get
done. I think you're taking it too literally.
Can
Colin?
I just say final word on this then to Mahendra Patel?
I would just like to say I think we are getting bogged down with semantics here. What I would probably insist on having once in government is a minister without portfolio, somebody who can get out there, scrutinise things and actually ask each minister why, how and so on. Everything should be asked and investigated before actually spending the money. At the end of the day, we've got a limited budget in any department, and I don't think giving money to each department per se actually is the answer. So yes, we do need to revisit that as well.
Well, let's take a short break. We'll be back in a moment.
Election 2011 coverage on Manx Radio, brought to you by PDMS.
Welcome back to Manx Radio's election constituency debate. Today we're in Castletown, and let's look now at a local issue, if you like, the regeneration of Castletown, which is something I know that you've all got differing views on. Richard Ronan, you question the worth of regeneration to the economy, but I mean, how would it be better to let our towns and villages slip into wreck and ruin?
Well, it depends how you regenerate, isn't it? Regeneration is economic development, economic growth. You can't have one without the other. You know, we don't know the full extent of the regeneration, what's happening at the moment. I'd certainly want to see it. Is it going to generate a return for Castletown? Because that's what regeneration matters at the end of the day.
Colin Leather, you've been a member of the Regeneration Committee. Is it worth the money?
Without a doubt. I think the regeneration project is a must for Castletown. We've got to set our stall out so that people can come and invest in the town, want to invest in the town, provide jobs in the town, and make it a better place for the people of Castletown to live and enjoy.
David Powell, you seem to have a markedly different vision, if you like, for Castletown. You want to see an Italian-style piazza in the square, which I believe maybe there was there at some point in the past. Fountains, I mean, is that really what residents want?
Residents that I've been speaking to, they do want something like that. Yes, they do. They want car parking. They want a new estate, and they want a reason to stay in Castletown. At the end of the day, they work hard. I mean, I did it last night. I ended up going to the pictures in Douglas. There was nothing for me in Castletown. I know you've put on your various events, Mr. Leather, and I've really enjoyed them, especially the ABBA tributes.
Thank you.
They are absolutely fantastic. But we need a proper venue in Castletown. The ancient square is just a car park now. The piazza-style situation, it might sound a little bit ridiculous at the moment when we're in a recession, but I agree with Carol. Basically, we've got to look to the future. Let's have a piazza-style square. Let's think a bit more positively about a cinema or a theatre in Castletown.
Well, as we've been hearing, we're not actually in recession here in the Isle of Man just yet. Jason Morehouse.
I think when the government's actually spending £30,000 a week to keep the Villa Marina operating, it's difficult to actually go down the road of doing spending in terms of things like cinemas. Mm. I think Castletown is an amazing place to be, and car parking is an issue, but it's part of the daily life, and hopefully as the economy comes out of the problems, there'll be money to do with porking and things, but in the short term we need to be really quite careful.
Carol Quine, you've said in the past you don't actually agree with the money that's been allocated for regeneration.
I don't know how much has been allocated yet, and there's
£8 million in the fund.
Oh, yes, but for Castletown, I don't know how much has been allocated or whatever. I haven't seen the final plans. I know there's going to be trees and bushes and different things. But, yes, I'd like to be... I'd like it, like Richard said, it needs to bring the people into work.
It needs to stimulate our economy.
We do,
trees
yes.
Trees and bushes don't stimulate the economy.
I'd like to
economy.
Go back on the car parking thing. We have a huge, great big car park in Castletown that sits empty every single day. The one at Castle Apartments.
The price.
I know it's a pay and display, but it doesn't cost that much. When people are coming to Douglas and having to pay to park.
Mahendra Patel, you believe more needs to be done with regard to Castletown's regeneration. And you actually claim in your own particular case that some of the conservation regulations have stopped you improving the look of your own pharmacy.
It certainly has, yes. I've been.
So do those conservation regulations need to be completely relaxed then?
I think so. I think we need to look island-wide, not just in Castletown, but island-wide. The whole planning process needs to be improved. It is quite a slow process, and it doesn't give people the impetus that they need to actually regenerate their own properties and so on.
But they are there for a reason, though, aren't they? We don't want anything being put anywhere.
They are obviously there to make sure that everything that people propose to do are within guidelines in terms of safety and so on. Where I have issues is where in the same vicinity you have one retailer or planning applicator given certain authority to do things, and virtually opposite the building you've got another one who goes for the same type of planning and is rejected for no reason whatsoever. And this is, I don't think this is actually fair and equitable. We need to look at this sort of thing again.
David Pownall.
I think we should bite the bullet and buy some land off, I think it's Jamie Riggall in Castletown, opposite S&S Motors, and put a car park there. You've got two or three car parks at the airport, which seem to appear overnight. Fine car parks. Opposite S&S Motors, a nice car park.
Is that what you want to see, Richard Ronan?
I certainly want to see car parking improved in Castletown. Do you know we have four parking authorities in Castletown? We have four different parking authorities in Castletown: highways, harbour boards, commissioners, and private. Yes. You know, we brought in me and Mr. Leather went to see a business recently in Castletown, and they were looking at the possibilities of moving out of Castletown because of the need for parking. And you know, when I was on the commissioners, we tried to adopt the car parking to make it easier to police and to give order. And unfortunately, central government refused us on that.
Is that another reason why you left the commissioners? Couldn't win that one either?
One of many.
Carol Quine.
Just going back to the parking and what Richard said, there's four authorities governing that. I would like to see that come under Castletown commissioners, as I'd like to see planning going to each local authority. They're the ones best to deal with their planning in the first instance. Also, I'd like to see the housing go under each local authority.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit more about local authorities then. All but two of you have actually been in Castletown commissioners for some time. I mean, Richard Rodan, I made that comment there because you resigned in February because you said you didn't have enough power as a commissioner. You said local authorities were largely futile. But wouldn't you have been better to stay and fight for them to have more power?
Well, when I was elected in 2004, I joined Castletown commissioners for a reason. That was to make a difference to Castletown and its people. It soon became clear that was never going to be the case. Now, there was southern area plan, parking, everything that goes to the central government automatically comes back at us, not going to happen. Southern area plan is a classic example. The amount of time and effort that was put into that, it's just an absolute waste of time. Basically, what you're getting is it's sent from Douglas is consultation after consultation. You put your input in. That's, I would say, about 80% of what goes on in Castletown. You know, I've made absolutely clear the reasons why I stepped down, and absolutely clear the reasons why we should be moving forward with local government reform, because this is the way forward, not just for Castletown, but for the Isle of Man.
Colin Nether, I mean, you believe local authorities need to be reinvented. What's your solution?
Local authorities should have some of the power back from government. When I first joined the board in the 1980s, we were responsible for all the roads in the town. We've got grants to maintain at different levels, the A roads, the B roads and the C roads. We did our own drains, and we did the taxis and all sorts of things. But now that's gone back to local government. The harsh reality is local authorities are basically debating areas, right? We debate, right? And then approach government. Now, we've got to have some of that power back, but also we've got to work with other departments. And a classic example of that is the Christmas festivities that Carol and I are involved in Castletown. We have a three-agency thing organising that Christmas festival: the commissioners, Mounts National Heritage and the railways. So that's in all interacted. But couple that with interagencies for regen and things like roads and parks and goodness knows what else. You can all work together. It's starting to happen, and that's a good sign.
David Pownall, you don't have a direct experience of being a commissioner, but it is an issue that the electorate's going to expect you to get to grips with. What do you think?
Well, obviously they've got a plan, but I'd like to know, who do you go to see to find out how the plan is progressing? If you go to a builder and ask them to build a conservatory, you can see what's going on and you can look at various details down the line. But with the regeneration of Castletown, which I understand is very sensitive, who do I go to find out what, for instance, has been done this past week or in the past 2 months? I don't know. And I think it's going far too slow and it needs a kick up the arse, quite frankly.
Can I answer, Mr. Pownall? Because I think perhaps as Chief Minister for Castletown, you need to speak.
So we're back talking about regeneration, but what I was asking you, Mr. Pownall, was about local authority and the issues of reform.
Well, I don't really think that they should have any more powers at the moment, not until the regeneration moves along a little bit quicker. I'd like to see more performance because they're heavily involved with that issue.
Yeah. Mahendra Patel, you were a commissioner for 11 years. What do you think?
I echo what Richard said earlier on, in the sense that we commissioners do thankless task in terms of not being paid for what we do, or I did. Having said that, there's a tremendous amount of work that goes behind a commissioner's job. Mm-hmm. I think central government has taken away too many powers from commissioners, and I would, if I was elected, fight strongly to make sure that commissioners do get a lot of their powers back, not just a few. I want them to do majority of the work should be done locally, because at the end of the day, the commissioners are in touch with what is happening where they are, not central government.
Jason Morehouse.
Yeah, the problem is if the commission has more power, it will require more money. If you look at Castletown, it's only got a budget of around £700,000 a year, and that starts to become a major issue.
No, it doesn't. Sorry, can I interrupt? What I would also then propose to do is we divest the planning department and its supporters, and get them to help the commissioners with the work. I'm not just leaving the commissioners out there high and dry. They haven't got the all the legal, if you like, backup that is necessary to go through, for example, a planning process. And this is where the planning department
first
personnel would come in.
Yeah, with the local authorities.
But I would send them out to each commissioners. I wouldn't have them in a central...
On the island, we need the strategic planning to be done in Douglas, and they need to actually recognise that a place like Castletown do need some extra assistance. You know, it's all right leaving it to the backwash effect and letting the money drift back to Castletown, but there needs to be a real injection, you know, something to make Castletown more attractive. You know, the £2 million they're getting for the minor improvements, so when people get off the coaches and get into Castletown, is going to be noticeable, but it's peanuts. You know, if you want to make Castletown attractive beyond the island, it needs more money.
But again, what we're talking about is local government reform and your views on it. But I'm not hearing anybody saying, right, this is the solution, this is what I'm standing for.
Perhaps we could follow Onken and reduce the amount of members.
Yeah. Richard Rowland? I think probably a good idea now is to have my views against Collins. Really, I'm quite... Collins' views...
Should we leave the room?
Collins' views are the Time for Change document, if I'm not mistaken, which is 13 authorities, which leaves Castletown on its own. Okay, so basically we're staying as we are. My proposals are clear. I would like to see district authorities in the south, a bit like the secondary schools. It was done for a reason after the war. It's because it's cost effective. The biggest winner of all local authority reform in the Isle of Man will be Castletown. We've got cash rich neighbours. They don't know where to spend their money. The money needs to be pulled. This has happened in the Western Isles of Scotland and the north of Scotland, where it was fought tooth and nail. You go up there now and you see things happening. The money is pooled, and when something is done, it works.
Colin Leather.
Yeah. I go for the 12 plus 1, basically because in any authority, the person that lives in that town has to identify with that town. They have to feel part of that organisation, and that organisation is representing them. You want to be able to walk down a street and say, you're my local commissioner, I want you to do this. And if we go away from that to four authorities, I bet most people in Douglas don't know who their councillors are. And I don't want to get to that situation in Castletown or the south of the Isle of Man, because
things need to work, Colin. You know, I fully respect your views, I really do, but things need to work. And it's 2011, Colin. The local authority system was set up, I think it was 150 years ago, and whoever did it should be put on top of the smell. It's an amazing system, it's worked for so long. No, but the thing is, it needs to function. We need housing needs to come under one umbrella. Planning could completely come back to the areas.
Yes.
Well,
exactly.
Let's just move on then and pick up on what you've talked about there. Housing, it's something that you all say you want something done about, the provision of affordable housing. Carol Quine, you feel the town boundaries limit the space available for the building of new homes, but surely that could be seen as a positive thing, really. I mean, what effect would over-intensive development have on Castletown in particular?
What effects would it have, overdevelopment?
Or intensive development.
Well, it wouldn't be. We wouldn't just cram in. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want to be building on every green space or going Hong Kong style, do we?
No. So therefore, the boundaries are in place for a reason, and they're working.
Well, excuse me, Carol. Boundaries are a line on a map. At the end of the day, you know, I cherish the Isle of Man's boundaries. I cherish our parishes. You know, it's only a line on a map. Whether we build in Castletown or we build near Castletown, you know, as long as it generates our economy and benefits the retailers and benefits the people within Castletown, that can only be a good thing.
Mahendra Patel, you want to see government reserves used to create a newly revived government mortgage scheme, but we've talked about the economic situation at the moment. Is government really in a position to deal with the administrative and operating costs of that now?
I think so. We have, what, $1.4 billion in reserve?
I agree.
What return are we getting on that? And I think my proposal would be that each first-time buyer or the person that is first on the ladder, if you like, to get a property, is given a mortgage from the government, based on their ability to pay, of course. This mortgage would then be at a cheaper rate than market rates. Now, at the moment, the banks are not lending, so that is actually partly stifling the growth. The mortgage to the first-time buyer would be a cheap mortgage. The government would also win in that respect, in the sense that the reserve money, which is hardly getting any return at the moment, would get a proper and reasonable return.
Jason Morehouse, yeah. You're an economist. Tell us, will that work?
I think you're in the right area. I think you need to be slightly more experimental. You know, if you go back to the first-time buyer schemes, you've got the issue that's kind of so restrictive in terms of the $150,000 you can spend. You know, go out and try and find a house for $150,000, you're struggling.
Get your deposit, yeah.
Yeah, you've got to actually get the government look at things like shared equity. You know, they've got all this money, they're investing in property overseas. If they look to the island, they can take 20% share of property, and that will enable the market to free up and get more people into the housing market.
Well, it's not just first-time buyers. We want second-time buyers' houses.
I think affordable housing.
Yeah. We've got to get this ladder moving on the housing list so we can get people out of the commissioners' houses into private houses, and that will release the commissioners' houses for people
needy.
That need it. We need the whole ladder moving.
But we also need to restrict the amount of houses one person can own.
Can I say also, there are far too many greedy landlords in the Castletown area, charging too much money to the young kids, £800 or £900 for a flat. They can't afford it. They have to move out of the town. I think the landlords need to lower their rents.
Carol Quine, can I just ask you? I'm intrigued as to how you're going to stop people buying houses.
I didn't say stop people buying.
Stop people buying more than one.
Yeah, I don't know how it's going to be done, but you see, too often there's people out there who own 3, 4, 5 properties, and like David's just said, and they rent them out, and they charge awful rents.
They do.
I think really what we need to do here, what we have in any housing structure in the world, you have private, you have rented, you know, and you have social. a long way away from it. What we need is a middle ground. We need to draw them closer together. And this is what I'd like to see, because there's people stuck in social housing. There's not been knocking on the doors for 10 weeks here. There's people that, by choice, they would love to go. They've just literally missed the boat. And what we have now is so difficult to get a mortgage. By creating a middle ground, it's done, as Jason said, you know, shared ownership. There's ways around it. We need to find the best ways that would suit the Isle of Man to get the Isle of Man market moving again.
But the most common factor we have in Castletown, especially amongst the 50, 40, 50-year-olds, they say, I want to live in Castletown. Yeah. Everybody wants to live in Castletown. And that is also creating a nice problem, because it means that we're doing things right in Castletown.
But Colin, the population hasn't increased for a quarter of a century. On hold. Let's face it, you know, so we go on about we've got to do something about it.
No,
we need to move our market. We need to move our market. We're 0.9 of a square mile, Castletown. Let's hit the
children
button here.
Can't live in
we
Castletown
need to move
anymore.
Outwards,
they
not
can't
upwards,
live
Beth.
In Castletown anymore.
Well, let's just turn to the issue of employment within the town then. That's sort of a natural progression on from housing. And in recent years, a fairly large number of businesses have moved out because they've outgrown their premises. Can any more be done to keep those in Castletown?
Yes, we in the 1980s of commissioners, there was empty shops and empty offices in Castletown. We shouted it loud and clear, invest in Castletown, we've got the skills here to provide you with the staff that you need. And people came to invest in Castletown. Now, those companies have outgrown Castletown. People like what is now Friends Provident, they've developed from one little office.
So Castletown's a starting base then, David Pownall?
Well, getting back to the landlords, and you know the names, and I wouldn't mention the names on air, but there are a number of players in Castletown who own property, and they're wanting far too much money for the rent on premises. And I don't know what we're going to do about that, because I can't see them reducing the rents, but the rents are far too high.
And that's why we've got businesses leaving.
We've got businesses leaving the town.
Getting back to jobs, job losses, we've lost approximately 600 jobs in the last 5 years. So all the hard work that was done, all the groundwork that was done, we're losing jobs. Now, Castletown is starting to turn into a dormitory town here. We need to get jobs back. And the only way we can do that, Peel's a classic example. Okay, I remember the brouhaha when Bala Wattleworth went up. Peel now, I've seen on the internet this morning, they're calling it the Saint-Tropez and the Isle of Man. Things are starting to move. You go to Peel, it's busy. Simply because it's simple mathematics. They put people in and around the Peel area and they're feeding the town centre.
Jason Morehouse.
The government needs to look back at their costs, looking at Castletown, the availability of officers, and possibly moving a department back into Castletown.
Without a doubt.
I said that long ago.
Yes, without a doubt. I mean, that is the key. You've got all the offices in Douglas, and to accommodate those offices, they build more car parks. They have to. Right? So why build more car parks? Why not just say to the people that work in the office, we're moving this department to Castletown or Peel or Ramsey, and we're going to regenerate that town with people.
But then you still need car parks.
Well, I think we can cope with about a couple of people coming down from an office in Douglas to, you know, make the town busier.
Well, we're heading towards the end of the programme, so I just want to get your opinions briefly on some other issues. Firstly, if you're elected, who here would support making a contribution to your own pension?
Most definitely.
Both hands have gone up around the table. And do you guarantee that's something you're actively going to seek to do?
Absolutely. Yes.
Absolutely.
David Pownall?
I have my own personal pension arrangements. I've been paying into a pension fund since I was 21. MHK should pay into their pension fund. You can't take money out of the bank if you haven't put any money in the bank, quite frankly.
Jason Morehouse, you don't think there should be a popularly elected chief minister or legislative council. Now, that's quite an unusual stance. Why?
The chief minister, basically, is someone who's established their position on the island, established their position in politics. If you were to open it up to anyone, we could get a Sam McCall figure appearing and taking over. You've got the issue, though, if the chief minister does move up, then there should be a new opportunity made. The local people should have a new representative.
But I'm really interested in the legislative council aspect.
Yeah, it basically comes down to the issue that if you've got a body there to check the laws, to check what's going on, then it needs to have an element of independence. It can't be responsible back to the people, it's just with conflict.
I
think you can't have a popularly elected chief minister under the current system. At the end of the day, the current system, we've got to trust the MHK. It's not a popularity contest, this. We've got to get the right person.
Why not give the public 50% of the vote.
No.
The thing is, if you elect your chief minister, you no longer have a chief minister, you have a president. Mm. And that is, that, to put it mildly, is a president.
That's what I mean, you need to change the system.
And
wouldn't
that, that guy will be ruling the roost.
Or woman. Mahendra Patel?
I don't think there is any space to publicly elect a chief minister, because that is a role that I see as a management role, and we need to have credibility there to manage whatever members of Tynwald there are. And they actually have to have faith in the person that's leading them. It works both ways.
Carol Quine, you do think there should be a popularly elected chief minister?
While we're out canvassing, we can ask the views of those who are voting and do it that way.
OK, well, that just about brings us to the end of the programme. Let's start as we let's finish as we started by hearing from each candidate very briefly as to why people deserve your vote on September the 29th. Colin Leather, let's start with you.
Well, I would love to put the experience I've gained as a commissioner to use for the island and the town as an MHK. I love Castletown. The people are fantastic. And I just want to do my very, very best.
If you recognise the economic pressures that we're under, then please consider voting for me.
Mahendra?
I would just say they're glaring anomalies that are in existence now, and they need facing head-on. You can't just leave things as they are.
David Pannell?
The Isle of Man and Castletown are in good shape. I just think we need to wave the flag and chase some departments.
Carol Quine?
I think we're all singing from the same hymn sheet. Hmm. And I'd just like to put myself forward to serve the people of Castletown and the Isle of Man.
And finally, Richard Ronan.
I have lived in Castletown all my life and I have an understanding and appreciation of the town's needs. Castletown needs an MHK who is credible, approachable and hard-working. I feel I have the qualities and vision to lead Castletown and the island forward in these very important and challenging times.
Well, thank you to all the candidates with me here today. Colin Leather, Jason Morehouse, Mahendra Patel, David Pownall, Carol Quine and Richard Ronan. Today's programme was produced by Catherine Nicol and Mark Tiley. On Wednesday, Roger Watterson's going to be talking to the candidates standing in Douglas East. I'll be back on Thursday with those in Douglas North. Until then, goodbye.